This is tape number 3, interviewing Dr. Alan Code of Seneca for the Black Heritage Upper Piedmont Project. Yolanda Harrell, the interviewer. Dr. Code, we just finished talking about lynchings, and you said that you just knew of one, a man named Green in Walhalla. Do you remember hearing anything about that lynching?
Other than the lynch, that's all I
know. Right.
And I know his family, but I don't know him.
You didn't know that much about the story or anything?
No.
And the one in Pinewood that you talked about, you don't remember much about that one either?
I remember more about that than I do about this one.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What happened in that one?
This man used to visit our home often.
Uh-huh.
You call him now a wild man because he didn't live in a house.
Oh.
He lived in a tent. He lived in a tent in the woods. He didn't come to town. He would go to somebody's house and get you to go to town and get something for him.
Mm-hmm.
He'd come to your house and pick it up. Mm-hmm. He was just afraid of white people.
Was he sort of a recluse or hermit, kind of?
Hermit. But afraid of white people.
Afraid of white people?
Yeah.
Why in the world was he lynched?
Well, what happened? Somebody broke in a store. Dry goods store in Pinewood, and they thought it was a black man. So they got the bloodhounds from Columbia, put on a trail, and the bloodhound trail thing up to the head clerk door. Trail up to the head clerk door. So they knew that's wrong. If it was the right person, the wrong place.
Mm.
But they took the dogs off and looked for a black man. And started down over toward Ramanai and got near our house, and he would cross the field and visit the family. And he saw them bloodhound and the sheriff coming. He took off to run.
Right, because he was afraid.
He was afraid.
Right.
He ran for the woods and they saw him running. So there he is now. They jump behind him.
Mm-hmm.
Put the dogs on him and he got into the woods, climbed a tree, got up in the fork of the tree, and the dog went to him and beat, and he shot the first dog and killed one of them dogs, don't go any further. He shot the dog and killed that dog. He made his own shell with chipped nails. He took and chipped the nails up and put them in the place where shots.
Right.
So he cut the dog head off.
Oh my goodness.
And then they got after him then, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And they round him up there and they got him. He killed one of the deputy sheriff and somebody else. And they closed him on, so they were scared to go in on. Then they stood back and shot from distance. So they sent the Columbia and got sharpshooters who came in and they took a high-powered rifle and they'd shoot him out the tree. They saw him in the tree, but they shoot him and he wouldn't die.
Mm-hmm.
So they shot him all day long. And the next day, they figured something went wrong, but it was a high-powered rifle, couldn't kill him.
Mm-hmm.
But they shot him in the arm,
mm-hmm.
and he fell out of the tree.
Mm.
And they took him, dragged him through the streets, carried him back out and lynched him.
Mm.
Put him behind an automobile and dragged him through the streets to Pinewood. Mm. And then they lynched him. I remember that. I knew the man.
Yeah, how old a boy were you then?
I was about 12 years old.
Oh, so you were so young.
Yeah.
Mm.
Lynched him. And now, I didn't experience the lynching here. I came here after this lynching occurred. But I remember that. Remember
right.
Joel very well.
What was his name?
Joel.
Joel?
Yeah.
Just Joel.
J-O-E-L.
J-O-E-L.
Yeah, Joel.
No last name? Just Joel?
No, that's all.
Did you think it was that clerk that the dog went to the house?
People believe it was the clerk did the stealing.
Mm. It's a shame because then Joel ended up killing a couple of men over
right.
that whole thing, and
right.
he was obviously not the one
to
start
not
just
one
because
shot.
Of his running. Goodness. How were black people treated by the law when you were young or when your parents were young?
When I was young,
mm-hmm.
the law of men duty was to arrest and advise black people when I was young.
That was their main duty.
They didn't care what happened. You just find a black man to put on.
Right. Like this jaw incident. That was the same kind of thing.
Yeah, same kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they were skillful in doing that.
It could have been a white man that did it, but a black person would get blamed.
Yeah, blamed for it.
What about when your parents were young? Was it the same thing and worse?
No, my father got on with them perfectly. They all loved my father because he was a perfect Uncle Tom, I'm going to use that word.
Yeah.
Perfect Uncle Tom. He knew how to handle white people, and they loved him. Mm-hmm. Or pretend to love him.
Right. Did he say that if he didn't act that way, that's how they would be treated?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He was afraid that they would attack him.
Right. So the law was pretty much
one-sided.
When you were small, and even for your father, too. How about married couples in your family? How did they treat each other?
Got along well.
Mm-hmm. Was one person the boss, or were the relationships equal?
One person the boss. The man was the boss, general.
Mm-hmm. Father was usually the boss of your family. And he was of your family, right?
Right.
And your mother went along with that?
Yeah, she was just calm and serene. Whatever he said was law and order.
I see. Do you remember your older relatives ever talking about black women who had relationships with white men? Was that ever discussed?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. We had several cases of that I knew of as I grew up.
Uh-huh. And what kinds of relationships, or how did your relatives feel about these relationships?
They thought it was awful.
Mm-hmm. Was it more of a case of a white man having a mistress or that
kind
of thing?
Yes,
Keeping someone.
And the wife was afraid to say anything about it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, they weren't aggressive as they are now.
Mm-hmm.
Taking the coat, they stood and took it.
I see. Oh.
I've seen white men come in the field on the horse and the woman go to the woods and she go right behind
them. Oh, my goodness.
In the daytime.
Mm-hmm. So sometimes it wasn't always a case of a relationship where the black woman was looking for one. I mean, was interested in.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes it was a case where the white man really aggressively attacked came after the black woman. I see. So it was that kind of relationship besides the other mistressy type.
Right.
Both. Okay. When you were growing up, did black people treat mulattoes differently from other blacks?
Yes. There's still something like that.
You find some feeling that people with fairer skin get treated better?
See, the mulattoes work in the home.
I see.
The darker hue work the crops.
Uh-huh.
So if anything like favoritism was played, it played towards the mulatto women.
Right. They got the best of everything.
That's right.
Do you think you still see that today, or has that changed, Danny?
That's still prevalent.
Mm.
Even a lot of people get the first break. A black person has to prove himself or herself.
Mm-hmm. Even though in some cases, the people of darker skin are just as much mixed, aren't they,
to
some degree, but it just comes out, the pigment comes out.
Right. I remember when I was teaching a white class in Abbeville, I was going down once a week teaching a class in education. And a young white woman was very kind to me. I had just come out of a heart attack where I had operation.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me not to lift anything heavier than a pencil.
Right.
I told the class that I wouldn't be lifting anything. You'd have to do it for me. And this white woman would wait every night when we close up. She'd stay and help me lock up because they'd pull some windows that we pull down.
Right.
She'd help me lock up and help me and check my library kit. Mm-hmm. I had a kit of 42 books, or be 42 or 52, I'm not sure, books mm-hmm. that the company sent me to use.
Mm-hmm.
In my teaching program.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd get him on the end of that chip, and I'd take the other end and we'd carry to the car. And the light would be on the building, but she'd do it every night I talked to her. She never let me pick that book up and carry it out there. And I teach them several cops in my class, patrolmen. I remember so long a time, they started following me out of Abbeville, all the place down Antreville, you know, right out of Anderson, sometimes into Anderson.
Mm.
Cars get on the side, get out of the bank and on the hill and turn the lights out until I pass, then get behind me with the lights out.
Mm.
Follow me all the patrolmen all the way into Anderson sometimes. Or just on the outskirts around, and then you turn around and go back. He did that for 6 months, I guess. And I told the lady about it. I said, look, I appreciate what you're doing, but I'd rather carry half of them and come back and get the other half.
Right.
Than to get the impression that you and I are going together.
Oh, God.
She said, I don't care. I don't care. I said, poor white trash, don't bother me. And that's the word she used. So I couldn't get her to leave me alone. She just come and help me. Every night. And I told another white woman about it. She said, Alan, I'm going to get in that car and ride with you one night. And I dare them to stop you.
Oh, my goodness.
You just be within the law. And I dare them to, I don't see who it is following you. I never did it because I didn't want to go up the cat that far.
No, and it could have been a real problem.
That's right.
I think you were lying.
So I left Abbeville with that kind of impression.
Sure.
And I never had a relationship with a white woman in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I couldn't.
Yeah.
But because I was afraid that the wrong thing would get out. Have respect for myself and respect for my family.
Right.
I didn't
do
that.
Right.
But Abbeville never knew it.
Mm.
So I finally finished my tenure down there and came on back to Seneca.
Right.
That happened for some time. 6 months ago.
Because you liked it better here, you said they treated you better.
Yeah, I like it better than the place I ever lived.
Mm. Were you ever aware of people who passed for white?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We had a man here who passed for white. Mm-hmm. And he would go north and carry family, all of them passed for white.
Oh, for the whole family. Then.
And they'd ride in the Pullman when we couldn't ride in the Pullman. They'd ride in the Pullman. Come back and see if you can get off.
For heaven's sake.
But see, the Pullman was on the rail of the train.
Uh-huh.
And they get all way back down the line. Nobody knew how they got
there. Nobody knew.
But they used to brag about the fact they didn't ride the train with black people. They used to brag about it.
Hmm. But I've heard that black people can usually know. White people don't know, but you
right.
all do, right?
You're right, right.
You can always tell.
Right.
At least that's what I've heard. Getting back a minute, I happen to have a thought. When did you first come to Seneca?
1935.
And you said you pretty much stay here?
Been here ever since.
Most, and you said you always liked?
I like to see it.
Right. Is it a particular reason?
Yeah, it's the only place I ever live where you can fight a white man and stay in town.
You can. You
can.
Because you fought one?
I've been in with him.
You've had arguments with him?
Yeah, right? I haven't been.
And you really feel that in this town you get a fairer treatment or have
right.
gotten a fairer treatment
like
than other places you live?
Nobody bothers you.
That's great.
That's really true.
Mm.
And I live north, south, east, and west.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best place I ever live right here.
You really feel that way? That's
I feel
the
that.
Best. How about Indians or people with Indian blood? How were they treated or did you know of any?
Didn't know of any.
Not anywhere that you lived, huh?
No.
Yeah. Okay, and no Indian blood in your family that
no.
you know of?
No.
When you were young, how often did you go to Greenville or Anderson? Of course, you were from a different section.
I didn't go that old.
These questions are primarily off of Piedmont.
Right.
So. Okay, what kinds of celebrations were held in black communities back then? What kinds of, did you have, say, a 4th of July celebration? Or
4th of July celebration,
mm-hmm.
Thanksgiving, and those were two historic days,
4th
of July, Thanksgiving.
Did y'all do anything special for either of those days?
Yes, we had special programs and parades and stuff like that. Fourth of July.
So you did have parades?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Football with Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Were there any other times that you had parades? Just Fourth of July?
No, Fourth of July.
Yeah. Did you have any music or anything? Or
yeah, we had band.
Did you have ball games or anything on the Fourth of July?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
picnic and ball game.
Picnic, yeah. Ball game, and yeah. The parade and
right.
The music. What about holidays? Were there other holidays that were important times for the community or for your family?
No, we recognize national holidays.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But not the holidays you have now. We have a lot of state holidays and stuff now.
Yeah.
We didn't have that.
Mm-hmm. Did your family celebrate Christmas?
Yeah.
And how did you all celebrate Christmas? Did you exchange gifts?
Exchange gifts.
Did you have Santa Claus?
Yeah.
And what did Santa Claus bring you?
That depends on the status of the family and that
right.
Sort of thing.
Well, in your family, what would you get from Santa Claus?
We'd have stockings.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas Eve night, and Santa Claus would bring whatever they deemed was the important thing for the year.
Uh-huh.
Because you live from one Christmas to the other.
Right, right.
And you were good, Santa Claus brought you certain things.
Uh-huh.
You were bad, Santa Claus brought you little or nothing.
Now, when you had Santa Claus, because nowadays children get so much for everything.
Oh, my God.
Did you just get fruit or small gifts or
small
anything?
Fruit, small can, and small gift. I remember I traded one thing for up until a few years ago. I got a coach on a train, for a train.
You got what? A coach?
Coach.
Uh-huh.
And full of candy.
Oh, my goodness.
And it looked like gold. It was a beautiful thing.
Mm.
I kept it a few years ago. I don't know what happened
to
it now. Yeah.
Oh, for goodness sake.
From the time I was a boy, I kept it a few years
was
ago.
Was that one of those glass filled ones? Or?
No. It was glass, all right. It was glass down through the center of it.
Uh-huh.
I guess about that long.
Uh-huh. You're indicating about, what, 3
yeah.
inches?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 3 or 4 inches.
Uh-huh. 3 or 4 inches long.
Yeah.
Okay. And this was a gift that was in one of your stockings when you were
yeah.
a boy.
Yeah.
My goodness. Did you all get more clothes and stuff like that for Christmas?
We got clothes for Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Did you exchange, did family members exchange presents?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What would be something that you would give to someone in your family as a gift?
Tie, handkerchief, socks.
Mm-hmm. Something that they really need.
Right.
More that kind of a gift. What about birthdays? Did you celebrate birthdays?
No, we didn't.
You didn't?
That's the reason.
That's right.
Can't identify my birthday
yeah,
because
right.
we didn't, out of 10 children, there's too many to have birthday.
Right, too many of you to
yeah,
have them. Is that why you didn't celebrate them, just too many?
I think too many.
What about anniversaries of any kind? Did you
no.
Your parents didn't celebrate a
no.
wedding anniversary?
No.
They just didn't do that sort
no.
of thing back then. Do you remember anything about hot suppers? Did you ever go to a hot
yes,
supper?
Yes, yes, yeah, hot suppers.
What is a hot supper?
Well, you could be serving pork stew and rice, beef stew and rice,
mm.
bread,
mm-hmm.
pies, cake, things like that sort of thing.
Would you go to someone's home for this?
Someone's home for that. Charge a fee for it.
I see. Someone would decide to have a hot supper and they would
invite
people to
yeah,
come and
yeah.
they would charge so much for that kind
yeah.
of thing. Was it a large event or small or what?
Pretty large.
Pretty large.
Yeah.
So
all the neighbors and friends would gather there.
Was it mostly outdoors or inside?
Inside.
Inside?
Yeah, unless the weather's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Or in the event bad weather. Uh-huh. All day, outdoor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you could...
You're sold in the house, but you went outdoor most
outdoors outdoors to eat?
Yeah.
Unless it was bad weather?
Yeah.
Okay. Would they postpone it if it's bad weather?
No.
No, just go ahead and have
right.
it. How often would a hot supper be held, and who would hold those? Just different people?
In my section, that's not true of here. In my section, people have hot supper for their personal need, personal benefit.
Oh, I see. Whenever they needed some money.
Yeah, what money they raised, they took it.
Uh-huh.
Up here, it was different. You had to care for churches or charitable organizations.
Oh, I see. They were money-making.
Money-making.
For some
that's
reason.
Now, up here, the money-making, fundraising for something.
Yeah, fundraising.
Now, in the lower part of the state, where I came from, is a personal thing.
Right.
You had to ask someone, you took, you raised the money, you took it.
Right. The charity was yourself.
Right. Right.
What about cakewalks? Did you all have those? Do you remember those?
I don't know. Sue, you remember Cakewalk?
We had Cakewalk. Uh-huh.
But you don't remember me.
No,
I'm okay. People. What about auction? Did you ever have any auctions?
Yes, but I didn't go to auction. Would come Thanksgiving time and have shooting match.
Oh, that's when the auction would be. What would they auction off?
Whatever they have, cake.
Food
and stuff
and
like
home,
that.
And
small livestock.
Oh, small livestock. That's what they were auctioning, that kind of thing. But you said you didn't go to those.
I didn't go to
those. Oh, okay. And I was going to ask you what time of year, but you said around Thanksgiving.
So
it was in the late fall. What were your mother's most prized possessions, or can you think of anything that she prized very highly or meant a lot to her? Is there any particular thing?
I can't think of it.
And how about your father? Did he have any prized possessions, anything that he was...
Dog.
His dog?
Yeah.
Oh, how many dogs?
He had 4 or 5 dogs.
Were these hunting dogs?
Hunting dogs, yeah.
Hunting dogs?
Yeah.
And did they have names? What were their names? What were the hunting dogs' names? Do you remember any of them?
I remember 2 dog names. One was Pup and the other was Nigger.
Pup and Nigger?
Yeah.
Very good. I like that about your dad calling it Nigger, considering the way his attitude was.
Right.
Very good. That was a good joke, kind of one. So that was his. You know that he really prized those dogs.
Those were highly favorite of his.
Were they hound dogs? What kind of dogs were they?
Yeah, mixed breed.
Mixed breed?
Yeah.
But mostly for hunting?
Hunting, but we possibly the best dogs he's had was greyhound and bull.
Greyhound and bull?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a combination.
Yes, sir.
And I guess he trained these himself.
Trained them himself.
Mm-hmm.
He'd take a dead coon, raccoon, and tie and drag him through the woods or whatnot. Put the dog on the trail and teach the dog how to trail in a tree.
He did. That's how he saw it. So he spent a lot of time training dogs?
Yeah, a lot of time. And had some favorite dogs.
Mm.
That was something.
Were they good-looking dogs or?
Yeah, good-looking. He fed them. He fed them well.
Uh-huh.
People in town would give him food for them. Beef bone and beef scrap, things like that for them.
Oh, they would?
Yeah, because people would come out and hunt with him.
Oh, so, I see. Like white people would come
out
and hunt because his dogs were so good?
And they had a puppy they wanted to train. They'd bring them to my father's house to train them. And they'd come out and bring their dog and go hunting with my father to train their dog.
I see. So your father, this was almost a vocation with him. He was very good at training
and
hunting dogs.
Right.
Did he train a lot through the years?
Yes, a lot of dogs.
Mm. And not only his own, but for other people?
Other people, yeah.
And I gathered for a lot of white men then.
Well, most white people, because black people didn't have time to hunt.
That's right.
Right.
So your father would hunt with these white men?
Right.
And train the dogs as well? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's interesting. But he get paid for helping them hunt or just for training the dogs?
Just training.
I see. Did you have an adult that you most admired when you were a child, when you were little?
Mm-hmm.
And can you tell me who that was and why?
Reverend O.A. Parker.
Reverend who?
O.A. Parker.
O.A. Parker. Okay.
My middle school principal who took a lot of interest in me.
Mm-hmm. That's why you admired him.
Yeah.
Did he do anything particular with you or help you?
Yes, he helped me with math and tried to stump me on math questions and that sort of thing.
He would quiz you then?
Yes, yes.
Uh-huh. Were these impromptu quizzes or this was...
Impromptu quizzes.
Whenever he would see
you,
he would have a question for you, that kind of thing? And then, so you felt close to him?
I felt very close to him.
Right. Did you feel that you wanted to emulate him? Was that one of the reasons you think you became a teacher later?
No.
No?
I just had a desire to teach.
You always wanted, did you?
I didn't want to farm.
Right. Okay. So you thought teaching better than farming, huh?
Teaching was better than farming to me.
Right. What adult did you like most when you were a child? It might be the same person. Sometimes it is. But was there someone you really liked? I mean, you admired... OA, but was there someone you liked?
Yes, Miss Hattie Brown.
Who was Miss Hattie Brown?
She was a local woman in town.
White or black?
Black.
Black. Why did you like her so much?
She saved my life one time.
She did?
Yes.
How?
For the church.
Oh, for goodness sake.
I went to a Sunday school convention in my little town. We lived about a mile and a half out of town.
Uh-huh.
And my parents' church was about 5 or 6 miles further out in the country.
Uh-huh.
So they'd go to their church Sunday morning. I had to go to the town church because all my schoolmates and stuff were in town. We're in town. So I'd go to town to church, and they'd permit me to go to town to church and join in town.
Right.
And one day we were having a Sunday school picnic, and two cousins of mine were serving lunch together. And their two boys, and three boys belonged to their family, came and said, come on, let's go to dinner. I was having to say, come on, eat with us. So I went on to eat with them. And when he woke up, he called his mother Della.
Mm-hmm.
And Richard said, Della, fix a place for Alan. And fix it for me. And she sat down, looked up at me and sat down, Cousin Hess know we're going to have this dinner today. If she wanted Alan to have some eat, she could have brought dinner. And since she didn't bring anything, you let her eat with you.
Mm-hmm.
That insulted me.
Mm-hmm.
And I started out the door to cry. I was going out the door to cry. That's what I was going out the door for. Started out the door to cry, and the old lady and a young lady was serving together. One was brown-skinned, the other one real fair. It's just left fixed out of the plate. The real light skin be left fixed out of the plate. The woman said, Alan, come in. So I turned around right there. She said, stand right there, we're going to fix you a plate. I said, I don't want to eat. I didn't want to eat. I was fed up.
Right. How old were you, Mrs. Africa?
I was about 12 years old, I guess.
Uh-huh.
I don't eat. She said, we're going to fix you a plate and you will eat it. So you hear me? Now, those days, anybody could whip, you know.
Yeah.
So I had to be obedient to her. I still didn't. They fixed me a plate like for the preacher.
Right. Oh, a really nice plate.
Oh, a nice plate. Chicken and pie, cake and rice and stuff. And I went out the door with the crowd, who were friends, and they had to give me a slice of cake, give me a slice of pie, and I began to want them to share out dinner. And the mother just insulted me. And I turned to that woman just to love her. But my mother wasn't there. She didn't go to that church. No, it was this day. I called her my other mother. And I guess for 9 or 10 years after I came to Seneca, we'd make an annual visit to Pinewood, and I'd go and buy her groceries for the Burger Grocery or Carlo the Grocery.
For this Hattie.
Miss Hattie. Uh-huh. And my wife would buy the groceries before we carried to her house.
Mm.
I remember the first thing she turned down, I bought a blender.
Oh, my goodness.
To mix drinks with.
Right.
And she wouldn't touch it. She
thought that was a bit much.
Yes. Well, no, she didn't want used to machinery.
Oh, she didn't like it. Groceries were good, but she didn't want that mechanical.
That's right. And so when I went back sometime later and found she hadn't touched it, I said, what wrong with this? I ain't about what that thing killed me.
Oh, gosh.
So I took it back,
mm-hmm.
brought it back home. We had one, I brought that back home here for my wife. My first wife's name was Sedalia. So we laughed and brought her back home. But we bought groceries till she died.
Mm.
All our groceries, because I called my other mother.
My goodness.
And she fell out with me at the last minute. She didn't stop loving me, but she fell out with me. She wanted to stay with me. She was 103 years old when she died.
Oh, my goodness.
And I didn't want to see her cooking and trying to cook with her at her age.
Right.
Feeble, too. So I tried to stop from cooking, so I hired a lady to cook for her.
Mm-hmm.
One meal a day.
Mm-hmm.
She cooked breakfast for her, carried in a basket, covered over a towel, had it warm for her.
Right.
2 or 3 years. Then that woman died.
Oh, my.
So then they took her and put her in a nursing home. Some of the nursing homes not too nice.
Yeah.
And they put her in one where the order was bad, and I went to see her and decided to get out of there. And she wanted to get out of there. Mm-hmm. But my wife was sick. My wife had multiple sclerosis, and she couldn't take care of her. And I had to hire somebody to take care of my wife. And I said, I just can't take you home right. with me, and my wife can't. I got to wait on my wife.
Right.
Hurt her feeling, though. She said, all I want you to say, you're going to care, or you're not going to care. So I can't care. And she just cried. Hurt my heart.
Yeah.
But I didn't bring her. She did it with me at the time, but I didn't bring her. But she loved me, and she gave me all her property. She had about an acre of land in town.
Oh, my. She left it to you.
Left it to me. Mm-hmm. I gave it away. Because I gave it to a lady who promised to take care of her, mm-hmm. get her a meal for her, and buy her groceries for her. I turned over to her. So I don't want to think any fine with it now, but I did own that house for mm-hmm. a while. So that's why I love that lady.
Yeah.
You asked why I love her right. so. That right. was why.
Right. That was a real life story.
If she had let me go out of that church that day and cry, I would have been through with the church.
That would have been the end of you.
That would have been the end church. Of me. Because I would have thought the church was a hypocritical thing and wasn't a thing real about the church.
So you really feel like she saved your life?
She did save my life for God. Saved my life for God.
Well, that's good. If I were to ask you why, but now I realize why.
Yeah.